Okay. All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's meeting on Monday, the 18th of September 2023. It's my pleasure to welcome everybody to this evening and particularly to those people watching along at home. Being 5:30 p.m, I now officially declare the meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website, and in accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the general manager to confirm that the recording has started.
Confirm, Mayor.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay my respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reid, the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff this evening, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr Spinks, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, and Manager of People and Safety, Ms Everingham. Later we will be joined by our Manager Legal and Property, Mr Basham. We also have our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. So we therefore have no apologies this evening. We are on page one, confirmation of minutes. The motion is that the minutes of Open Session Council Meeting number 17, held on the 4th of September 2023, be confirmed as a true record. I'm looking for a mover and a second. I've got a mover in Councillor Bain and a seconder in Councillor Fox. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Still on page one, workshops held since the last council meeting. We had a workshop on the 11th of September in relation to a multi-storey car park. Turning to page two, declarations of interest. Does anyone have a declaration of interest? General Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. The officers report in closed session, General Manager vacancy. I will declare an interest and leave the chamber.
Thank you. Still on page two, transfer of agenda items. Are there any items that a councillor would like to move from closed into open session or open into closed session? No, thank you. Questions without notice from the public. We don't have any members of the public here. Oh, did you here to ask a question? No, thank you. Questions on notice from the public. There was one question. It was from Mr Griggs with a response from Mr Smee, and it was in relation to a track at the Twin Ovals. So if members of the community would like to ask a question on notice, they can do so by completing the relevant section on our website or by sending an email to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. Questions without notice from councillors. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a couple of questions here and also some in closed session.
Sure.
As well. Thank you. So I've had a couple of members from the community ask me if there's going to be any urban art walls or murals to occur as part of the Transform Kingston project.
Mr Smee.
Through you, Mayor, we have a grant application in at the moment, and that's to do a mural under the underpass. There's no proposals for murals in the main street, though.
Thank you. What is the process for including public art in our major projects?
Mr Smee.
Through you, Mayor, we don't have a defined process in relation to that. It generally comes through the planning and the scoping for a project and the community consultation that forms part of that scoping process as to whether there is interest or suitability for inclusion. But yeah, as I said, there's no formal council written process on the matter.
If I can just add to that though, you'll notice, and there's still stuff going on with the Kingston Main Street upgrade, that there were elements of public art that were built into that. There's inlays in some of the pavement with sea animals and all the things that were sort of incorporated in to add to the design and that sense of place. So I guess that's an example where there is that scope within a project to have public art there. And I know that there are some, through our sponsorship of the sculpture trail at Birches Bay, that those acquisition pieces generally will go within the CBD area to add to our collection of public art. Great.
Thank you. So just a further question on that one, Mayor. We don't have any really procurement or EOI process as part of our planning to include public art.
No, that's correct. Yeah.
Thank you. And just another question. So I attended the Kingborough Community Forum, which always is a wealth of knowledge, listening to our community members. And I asked if we could include the current engagement processes, the Sport and Rec survey and the wellbeing survey that were out at the moment, because I noted they weren't on the agenda. And I had a bit of a thought just generally for committees and perhaps that forum. And if that Kingborough Community Forum members were happy with that, but if there could be a reoccurring sort of agenda item on the template that included current council engagement projects, just so they don't get missed. I just thought that as an idea.
Yes, certainly that's something that we can take on board. I think one of the issues might be timing with some of those surveys. So, for example, it was only late last week that we put out the multicultural survey. So by the time the next agenda comes around for the community forum, that period would have closed because our surveys are generally open for about 4 weeks. But certainly it's something that we could raise with staff so that there's an automatic email that perhaps goes out to the members of the forum so that they're all aware. Because certainly I know from the surveys that we've got out at the moment, we've had a really good response to the Sport and Rec one. I think last time I heard there were 286 responses, which is terrific. I'd like to think we'd get just as many, if not more, for the multicultural survey, and there's the health and wellbeing survey as well that's out at the moment. So, yeah, we do want to get those words, those messages out to get as many responses as we can.
Thank you. And yes, I also thought for the council committees... Oh.
800 we're up to.
Oh,
wow.
800.
Wow. Wow, it was 286 last week. What happened?
I think Councillor Dean's been promoting and our amazing engagement. but also just thought for the committee process as well, because after the KBAC meeting I then went, oh, whoops, we forgot to promote the Sport and Rec survey. So it's just that prompt in our agendas to promote those current surveys, I thought.
Yep. Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. My questions are about Headworks Charges Policy Framework. When a development is proposed that requires the installation of new stormwater infrastructure in this case, but could be any other kind of infrastructure, or the upgrade of existing infrastructure, what proportion of the cost is passed on to the developer and what proportion is borne by the Kingborough ratepayer? And what's the relevant policy framework that guides those decisions?
Mr. Reeve looks like he's contemplating that question. That was his thoughtful face.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, I'll try and put my thoughts into this one. We don't have a formalised Headworks policy, and it has been one that has been talked about for a fair while. We do certainly assess every development on its own merits, and obviously if a particular development's making direct impact associated with some asset there, the requirements on the developer to actually upgrade whatever that asset happens to be, to allow that development to actually proceed. The difficulty that comes into play is where you're putting in new developments and there's incremental effects on networks. That's where Headworks comes into play, and that's where we don't really have a policy currently or a framework currently to actually allow us to actually deal with that.
Thank you. Just a follow-up. Thank you, Mayor. So I have another question on that, but I'll just preface it by saying that I was reading the Kingborough Land Use Strategy report from May 2019, and at section 4.22, in the section about reticulated water and sewage, it says that the existing systems do have significant constraints and Headworks contributions may be necessary, although there are significant exemptions currently in place with Taswater now not requiring Headworks contributions from developers. Then on page 48 of the same report, under stormwater, it says that the same type of impact will ultimately also occur due to climate change, in that future rainfall is predicted to increase in intensity. A more strategic approach is required to better manage urban stormwater across whole catchments to anticipate future development impacts. This may also require the implementation of a headworks regime that requires developers to contribute to the downstream financial implications caused by their developments. And then finally, on page 57, under future actions, physical infrastructure, it says, quote, investigate any strategic implications of this issue, such as Headworks regime that apportions the true cost of stormwater impacts from new developments. So with all that in mind, my question is, that report was from 2019. At what stage is the development of a headworks charges policy for Kingborough Council, and when should we expect to see either a workshop or maybe a report to Council about that issue?
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Cordova, the Local Government Association of Tasmania, on behalf of the local government sector across the state, are currently undertaking investigations into headworks. It's been a matter that's been discussed at general meetings of LGAT since 2018-19, and that work is currently in process.
Thank you, Mayor. My final question on this, if I might, is Kingborough very different from other municipalities with respect to any kind of implementation of headworks charges? Will it be a bespoke approach for Kingborough, do we anticipate, or do we think that whatever LGAT comes up with won't actually need that much massaging for it to be implemented in Kingborough?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, so I can't tell you yet what they might come up with and whether it would be appropriate, but I don't know whether the General Manager would like to comment. No. Yep.
We'll wait
I think we'll just have to wait and see.
Thank you.
Any further questions, Councillor Dean?
Thanks, Mayor. Just a very quick one. Toronto locals have noticed that there's been some works happening at the toilet block down at the foreshore, and so I'm just wondering if we get a bit of an update, because not all members are as privy to council meetings and developments that are going on. So if we could just maybe get a progress update on that one.
Sure. So work has started, which is very exciting. It's my understanding that the community would like to call it the Taruna Foreshore Bathing Pavilion, which is its historic name, so that is not the public toilets. So we need to get the terminology right, because I am envisaging, though, right now, people in bathing caps doing synchronised swimming, but that's just me. But work has started. I think it's been all gutted out at the moment, and we're hoping it'll be completed by November, ready for the summer season. So fingers crossed it all goes to plan, and I'm sure the community is going to be very excited about their new facilities. Any further questions? If not, we'll move on. We are now at questions on notice from councillors on page 2. There was a question in relation to signage at the hub from Councillor Cordova and an officer response from Ms. Swartz. We do not have any petitions that are still being actioned, and at the time the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions that had been submitted. We're on page 3 now. Officers' reports to councils. Compostable dog poo bags. Recommendation on page 6. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Minchley. Seconder Councillor Cordova. Councillor Minchley.
Thank you, Mayor. Happy to move this one, noting that it has been discussed on and off and questions on and off by councillors over the many years. It is a move forward, I guess, and really came as part of the, as you can see later in the report, we're looking at the council agenda, looking at the dog policy. So in regards to discussions also with the new dog policy and discussions around that, I know there has been some community groups, particularly the Blackmans Way Progress Association, that has asked if this can be included. Yep, there's lots of information in regards to how there's complexities around it in regards to, whether that's... It is, I guess, a good environmental stewardship to do this, but in regards to the breakdown of the dog poo bags, if they're not hot composted, then there's sort of questions regarding that. Yes, it would be great to have, public place bins, FOGO bins next to compostable dog poo carrier bags, but then we're relying on the community to actually put the right bag in that bin, and we already know with recycling bins that people can't even put the right things in recycling bins. But it is a good thing to consider. As I said, it has been mentioned and raised by community members, and it will go out as part of the dog policy, and we can consider it, I guess, in the 2023-24 budget, and it is something good to look forward to, and maybe we can assess really during that time how other councils are doing this. I think the City of Hobart does it, and other councils across Tasmania and probably interstate as well. We can look, I guess, at how they're actually managing this to ensure that the breakdown of the compostable dog poo bags happen. I think I'd be happy as a dog owner, and a few other people I've spoken to, increasing the dog fees to cover the costs of this seems reasonable. But yeah, look forward to other thoughts.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. I've got Councillor Antoli, then I'll go to Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I am a dog owner myself. That's my declaration. My question is around 4.7, and it's around the cost change from the old to the new. It's quite a substantial jump in price. Could someone from council explain the makeup or the breakdown of that delta of about $13,000 on top of current spend?
Yeah, Mr. Reeve can help us with that one.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, I guess that's just the cost of actually moving to the compostable bag as compared to the degradable bag. So, you know, clearly it's cheaper to manufacture degradable bags and a bit more expensive to manufacture compostable bags. So these are the costs that we're actually getting from the suppliers.
Right.
And we've been to a couple of suppliers to get those costs there, so we know that's pretty much in the ballpark.
I see. So it's purely for the actual stock itself. It's not in any other major charges. Okay, thank you.
I think the if you look at section 5.2, that provides some additional assistance in relation to cost, because that highlights that if we were to have the compostable bags and have standalone collection points for them, we'd be up for $250,000 to have that service. So we'd be looking at a 1% rate increase to cover that. So that is sort of the gold standard if you want to get the most from the bags being compostable. Otherwise, as we've already heard, they can be actually more harmful to the environment, because if they don't get exposed to heat and light, they don't disintegrate as well. It's far more complex than do you want them or do you not? I think next I had Councillor Cordova, and then Bain and Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll just start with a few questions, and a special thanks to the Blackmans Bay Community Association for giving me some insight into this topic or sharing their perspectives on it. My first question is that the report explains that switching to compostable bags would be of minimal environmental benefit. Do those environmental impact calculations include the impact of manufacturing and shipping the plastic bags currently? And it's noted in the report that this is about 750,000 bags per year, or 15,000 per week.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. No, the report clearly separates those two things out there to say the decision making for council is not so much on whether the bags themselves actually provide a direct environmental benefit, but whether or not they wish to put themselves in a position as I guess in an environmental leadership position in terms of taking that amount of bags out of, if you like, the plastic cycle or the degradable bag cycle.
Thank you. And through you, Mayor, my second question is, how does the FOGO bin program fit into these considerations? For example, has council considered an education program to encourage dog owners to bring their own compostable bags from home and dispose of them in their own FOGO bins?
I think that certainly has been a discussion that I know that the Kingborough Dog Walkers Association have been promoting as a benefit, and certainly the Deputy Mayor and I meet with them on a quarterly basis, and I know that, you know, whilst they're very keen to see this, the logistics of it make it very difficult. I don't know, Mr. Reeve, if you'd like to add anything else to that. It's a shame we don't have Mr. Basham here, because it might have come up during the dog management policy.
Three men. I guess the only comment I'd make with that is it's not always going to be one size fits all for everybody. So you can certainly run an education program. You can encourage people to do particular things, but you're not going to gather the wider population necessarily up in that. So you can expect the fact that there will be people who will expect a particular service there, because they have a service at the moment, in terms of where they can actually access a dog poo bag and where they can dispose of a dog poo bag. So that will still hold true for whether it's degradable bags or compostable bags.
Thank you.
Councillor Cordova.
And through you, Mayor, could council consider an incremental change towards compostable bags and public place collection points targeting high dog density areas such as the dog beach and specified dog parks and reserve first? So the question is, can we mitigate the costs by doing a staged rollout?
I think I'll ask Mr. Reeve to answer that. I think one of the issues then might be of confusing the community as to the expectation then that wherever there is a dispenser of dog bags, that those bags can then go straight into the bin that's located next to them, whereas in some cases then you'll have different types of bins, and whether that will be clear enough to the community I think would probably be a challenge. But one of the issues with the location of some of those bins is also the accessibility of them for collection. So as the report highlights, you need the collection trucks to be able to have the bins roadside in order to do the collection, and that's not always the case with the locations of some of our tracks and trails and dog exercise areas. But Mr. Reeve, did you want to add anything to that?
Through me, not particularly, but I mean, I guess we've discounted the fact that you could run it through your normal FOGO service for just that reason there. Not all dog bag dispensers are in those locations, plus the frequency of collection is going to be higher for dog poo bags, and so it just wouldn't reach, it wouldn't match the 2-week collection we currently have on FOGO. The issue we actually have is that the trucks that are used for public place bin collection of recycling and garbage are set up for recycling garbage there. There is no avenue to actually set up an additional space for FOGO. So we're sort of stuck then with saying, even if you limited it to a few high-profile bins, you're still going to have to actually get a service of some description there, whether that be a contract or whether we do it in-house. We know from previous experience there, it is really difficult to get contractors to undertake that service. So you can imagine if you're asking a contractor to undertake a limited service, it's going to be near on impossible. So it would then lead to the fact that you would have to actually try and provide that service in-house. And then if you try and provide it in-house, it means then you have to actually purchase your truck, have your operator, and even if the truck's being used, it's only going to be used for part of the time there. So it just becomes economically unfeasible.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. My final question before I give my contribution is, what are some of the aspects that makes Kingborough different from, say, Hobart City Council in this respect? What's making it harder for us to implement this change with comparison to other jurisdictions that have made it? For example, does Hobart have that $250,000 truck, or are their trucks in 3 compartments, or what are some of those differences?
No, Mr. Reeve, I'm sure we'll wax lyrical now about the fact that the Hobart bags are doing exactly what potentially our bags would be doing and not ending up in the right place. But Mr. Reeve, did I just paraphrase that incorrectly?
I'll try not to wax lyrical. yes, effectively, Hobart's taking a very similar sort of attitude to what we're suggesting is a possibility in this report there, to actually say they're looking at it as being a good corporate steward of the environment, but all their bags currently go to landfill as well. They don't provide a separate service for that, and I'm not sure that I know of any councils in Tasmania that actually do at the moment.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. So I'll start my contribution by firstly thanking everybody involved and thanking the engagement of community members. There are many community members who are very passionate about this, and I realise that it's a nuanced issue, so I've really valued this discussion so far to help shed some light on what's going on. I think that this is a non-controversial recommendation, and so I'm happy to support it, but I think we need to be clear about expectations, because what we're trying to do is make sure that we direct council resources to the exact areas where we can have the most benefit and make the most impact. Here at council, I have observed, in terms of climate action, meaningful climate action, that we do 2 things quite well, I think. Firstly, actions that mitigate climate change, and so that's things like switching to EV fleets for the council vehicles, solar panels on buildings, changing our waste to landfill, so that because that really is the major factor for council's emissions. And then we also adapt to a changing climate, and we do that through flood mapping and through infrastructure changes and bushfire mitigation and those kinds of things. So there's the things that we do to mitigate the impact of climate change, and then the things we do to adapt to a changing climate. And when we're talking about increasing expenditure for climate action, I really want to make sure that it's targeted and that it does as much benefit as possible. So my understanding is that when these dog bags are compostable dog bags, if they're going to landfill and getting compressed and then they're breaking down anaerobically without oxygen and without water, then they're creating potentially the same or more potentially methane emissions, which as we know are worse. So the carbon dioxide equivalent emissions are pretty bad. So I absolutely take the point that when on one of our hiking trails, if you see a degradable dog bag, that indeed is worse for the environment because you're getting microplastics into our waterways and that's going to cause environmental harm that way. But we just have to be clear about whether we're doing this to stop environmental degradation on our hiking tracks, for example, or whether we're doing it to mitigate the impacts of climate change. Because, as we can see from the report, there's a very marginal benefit and potentially no benefit at all from switching unless you have the proper facilities like localised composting, or it doesn't even need to be localised, but unless you're composting this properly, if you're just compressing it and compacting it into an anaerobic system in landfill, that's potentially worse in terms of mitigating the climate crisis. So I think that this is a really valuable exercise. There's a community need and we need to do whatever we can to take meaningful climate action, both to adapt to the changing climate and to mitigate the climate crisis, and we need to be strategic with the expenditure of our resources in order to do that. I don't yet know where I sit on the expenditure here, but that's not what this report asks us to do. This report asks us to consider it for next year's budget, and I'm very happy to do that. But I think when we do consider it for next year's budget, we are going to be taking all of those nuanced factors into account. So once again, I thank everybody for getting involved in the discussion. I've really found this helpful so far, and I look forward to discussing it again at the budget deliberations. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Next, I had Councillor Bain, and then I think Councillor Richardson after that. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. And also thank you to the authors of the report, because it is something which has been raised by a lot of community groups, a lot of individuals, so it's good to have the information in front of us. Just have a question around 4.10 and B, and it's around the... I think it's already been spoken about, the current public place litter collection vehicles are split into the two compartments, the one for recycling and the one for the litter, and it cannot be retrofitted to accommodate the third compartment. Just interested to know, is there vehicles out there which do have the three different sections that could be considered down the track or not?
Mr. Reeve.
Not that I know of, but I mean, I guess the difficulty with it is you're effectively trying to combine three services into one, and also, albeit the fact that many of the times we have the bins that are that are actually next to each other, that's not always the case. So then it makes it difficult in terms of actually trying to do both Bruny Island and the mainland in, I guess, the time you've got with the one vehicle you've actually got. So some other things actually come into play as well. So even if you did a split compartment, actually trying to do that service within that one truck would be challenging.
Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Councillor Richardson.
Thank you. A couple of my questions have been answered, but I guess one of my questions is, going back a step, it's always struck me as a little odd that we take something entirely organic, wrap it in plastic, put it in a plastic box, chuck it in the truck and then bury it in a hole. It seems like a lot of work.
Dogs are a lot of work.
Indeed. If we were to go down the path of FOGO at some point in the future, noting that we'd be relying on the public to put the correct things in the correct bin, what happens should that FOGO become contaminated with things that are non-compostable?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, yes, this is one of the issues with public place FOGO bins. If you go widespread with it, there's more chance of them becoming contaminated, and then if that load then is delivered to the processor there and they've deemed it to be too heavily contaminated, they do some sorting, but if they find it too contaminated, then it'll just go to landfill. So it is reliant on making sure that you have lots of things in place in terms of education and trying to, you know, communicate people putting the right stuff in the right bins. So it's the same issue. We sort of have it in a lesser sort of form with, garbage bins and recycle bins out in the public place.
Councillor Richardson.
So, understanding that, you know, the plastics are not good and the microplastics that they break down, without those processes in place to get them to a compost facility and with no plan in the future to make that happen, does this kind of move to the compostable bags become a kind of tokenistic thing? I mean, I know we use the word environmental leadership or whatever, but if we're not actually achieving anything and we don't plan to put things in place to achieve anything. Are we being a bit tokenistic?
My inclination would be to say yes. What would you say, Mr. Eve? But feel free to contradict me.
Three mere far be it for me to contradict you. Look, I mean, I don't know if I'd be as strong to actually say tokenistic. I think if you're talking about the amount of bags you're actually, you know, effectively taking away from buying, I guess, and taking away from being produced there, it's not insignificant. So I wouldn't be using that word, but I guess I've tried to make it very clear in the report there that this is really just about whether council wants to position themselves at that higher level. There is some arguments to say that I guess Hobart's actually positioned themselves there, but then they have a slightly different way they've actually set up there, because they've obviously banned single-use plastics in Hobart there, so that's a big driver for them to actually try and get as much as possible out of what they're actually procuring as well at the same time. So, look, I think there is some advantages to actually doing it, but I think if I was going to go as far as any recommendation, it would be only as far as the one I've actually put forward there, to say you need to actually consider that in a fuller way within the budget and in the budget limitations and context as well.
Councillor Gladright, and then... Oh, sorry, did I have Councillor Dean next? Did you? No, Councillor Gladright and then Councillor Dean.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, look, it was... I still have a lot of concerns around this decision, noting that it's not actually until 24-25, so we do have some time to really think about it. But for me, the reason I will be supporting this is because plastic is generally made from crude oil or gas, whereas compostable bags are produced from a renewable source. So for me, it's that point that I'll be supporting this, that we're trying to encourage the move away from crude oils being used. But I do still have grave concerns about the fact that these compostable bags will be going to landfill, because they do, as everybody, most people have alluded to, methane is has a global warming potential equivalent of at least 28 times higher than carbon dioxide. So it's actually worse by putting it into landfill than if it wasn't a compostable material. So I think that the education piece is really key. It wasn't so long ago that we were going to the supermarkets and getting plastic bags there, and now our behaviour has changed and we're now mostly taking along our reusable bags. So I feel like it's that type of behavioural change that needs to happen, and that requires education. And I don't think people are aware that compostable material going to landfill creates that methane. I don't know what role council have in that education piece, but I'm wondering if it's something that could be considered, that when people are registering their dogs, that they're getting a little leaflet or an email or something that explains that the best place for their compostable bags and their dog poo is to take it home with them and put it in their bin, and if we can be trying to encourage that type of behavioural change. So something to consider. I don't think we've... really considering that tonight, but maybe that's something. I'm not sure if that needs to be driven by councillors or staff, but I think that the education piece is really key in educating the community around methane and compostable material, and I'll get off my soapbox now.
Thank you. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of points. I suppose that one is that we are just considering it, and I'm absolutely happy to consider it for next year's budget. I'm supportive of this point of the cost recovery mechanism. Looking at our neighbouring councils, it would put us still pretty much on par with the Huon and still a lot cheaper than Hobart City in terms of dog registration fees. So I'm comfortable with that as a proposal. And I think I just make the point that a few of others have touched on, that there are some indirect environmental benefits here, not just with the bag production, which a couple of other councillors have mentioned, but the indirect benefit of a wider proliferation of compostable bags in the community, because not every single bag ends up in the bin at the dog park. People are walking their dogs all over the community, and I know that not everyone goes out and buys their own bags, and a lot of people source their bags from council when they go into the park. So when they're walking home, a lot of people do deposit it in their FOGO bin, and I think there's a lot to be said for our community, as the Deputy Mayor's pointed out, to change their behaviour over time, and it will happen, and I think we're just getting the ball rolling. And yes, the technology doesn't exist, as Mr. Reeve has pointed out, but it may in the future, and I think it's definitely at this point worthy of consideration, so I'll be supporting it.
Councillor Antoli, do you have a question?
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question and a quick contribution, since I haven't given one yet, if I may. The compostable bags that we can purchase, can they be thrown into your own individual FOGO bin?
Yes.
Right, so it won't violate the integrity of the bin. I personally am supportive of it. I think it's a small fee on top of the dog owners. It's actually borne by the dog owners. I am one. I make that declaration again. I think microplastics in our ocean are more of a scourge than untested theories around whether or not methane is released from our dog poo to have any effect whatsoever on the environment. We are a seaside community, and microplastics into our ocean is dreadful, and I would just assume that council will double check how compostable they are. I saw a recent news article from the United States testing a range of compostable bags, and one of them takes 367 years to decay. So that, to me, is an absolute rip-off. So hopefully we will get in quality stuff that doesn't take that long. So we'll be supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Any further contributions? If not, I'll just make a brief one. I know for people who are watching this that this might seem like a very simple question. Do we want compostable bags as opposed to biodegradable ones, or we don't? And as we've heard tonight, it isn't that simple, and we do have those challenges. And it amazes me, if you think about the number of dogs around the world, not just in Kingborough, but in Tasmania and Australia and right around the world, that nobody has come up with a solution that is actually the answer to this complex problem. So if there's any entrepreneurs out there is a really big problem that needs to be solved. But look, I'm happy to support the recommendation as it is. I would hope that by the time we get to the point of having our budget discussions, that maybe somebody has come up with an idea that will help us get through this minefield, because I don't want to be doing something for the sake of environmental stewardship if we then end up doing more harm to the environment and encouraging people to throw the bag along the side of the trail, and so that it, you know, composts along the way, particularly if, as Councillor Antoli has mentioned, they are going to take a significant amount of time to compost. So it's not simple, but hopefully one that we can work through, and I'd be really interested in understanding a little bit more about how other parts of Australia are dealing with this, because it doesn't sound like the answer exists in Tasmania yet. Councillor Midgley, did you want to sum up?
Yes, please. Thank you. I did think of an idea, a little shovel and a bucket. I think I might start doing that. Lead the way.
Sorry, Councillor Fox. I didn't see you have your light on.
I was a bit late because you'd already asked Councillor Midgley.
Sorry. Councillor Fox.
The word came to me when I was young. They were called pooper scoopers. And I think people have all become a bit precious about putting their dog poo in bags. I mean, it's a difficult one, but I mean, if people had a bucket with them and a pooper scooper and take it home and put it in the toilet, that's so easy, or put it in a place where it is going to decompose. I was actually the person on council who introduced plastic bags to pick up dog poo originally. And they weren't.
Oh, so it's your fault.
It's all my fault. But it was the first in Tasmania, and it was because I noticed them overseas, and I thought we can do that, and we did get them, and that's a long time ago. But now it's interesting that it's really possibly made it worse rather than better for our environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Maybe Councillor Fox and I can get together and work out a pooper scooper invention. Just a quick summary of what everyone has said. So really that it's environmental stewardship, but not necessarily reducing waste to landfill. It's for consideration in next year's budget, but we'll look at the consideration of the limitations and the context. And it was good, the clarification question around can people put that compostable dog poo bag in their FOGO bin, and that is a yes. And again, just that raise of more research between now perhaps in the budget around how other councils are doing their education component, if we can actually find out if there's a really awesome quality compost bag that breaks down in less than 300 days, in a week or so. So I guess there's a few little things that for us to make that decision in next year's budget deliberation that we can find out. That will be really great. But thanks, everyone, for your contribution and the work gone into the report.
Thank you very much, Councillor Midgley. I'm going to put the motion now as printed on page 6 of the agenda, moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 7, Tramway Creek Flood Study Report, with a recommendation on page 11. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Cordova, a seconder in Councillor Antoli. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very happy to move this motion, which is basically summarising the results of an investigation undertaken for the Tramway Creek catchment, which flows, it's 110 hectares in total, and flows from Van Murray Road to the Northwest Bay, south of the Margate Wharf. Before I go on, I'd just like to ask a question about the data, and with particular regard to dams. And I do note that in this very comprehensive report, which I'll take us through momentarily, it did mention that the data about dams is not as... Well, there isn't the data about the dams that we have. For example, Kingborough's stormwater infrastructure, the data is quite good about where our pipes are and where our pits are. But my question is, how do we get better dam data, and what, when people do put in dams and when we survey dams, how do we know, what's our plan about dam data? Thanks.
Mr. Reeve, on dam data.
Three, Mayor, thank you for that segue. Look, it's difficult there where you have these catchments there which are a little bit different in terms of the fact that they're also reliant on dams that are actually within the catchment itself, and some of them might have, larger type ones as well, such as reservoirs as well. So they do have to be taken into account when we're doing our flood modelling. To actually really ascertain the effect of them, you sort of need to get some further information in terms of what that dam's being used for, how full it is at different times of the year there, some of the details in terms of the depths of the dam. This flood study hasn't gone into that detail in terms of ascertaining that, because bearing in mind all of those ones are actually farm dams, so actually having the detailed knowledge of their volumetric capacity and their general fullness during the year is not something this has gone into. So we would have to actually extend it out to that. But it actually has made some pretty good assumptions in worst case scenario assumptions in terms of those particular dams to actually provide, the flood mapping that was actually within the report itself. And that's probably all we really need to go forward with.
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. So through you, Mayor, this is a very comprehensive and useful report, and basically I think it speaks... the information it is very good and very clear, and it's not as alarming as I thought it potentially could be, which is encouraging. But what we're looking at essentially is hydrological and also, the calculating how much rain... how much rain falls, and when it does fall, what is the runoff, and then what are the impacts of that runoff. So that's kind of what we're looking at in broad terms, and the way that the report looks at it, it's just, worth noting that the size of a storm event is measured in terms of annual exceedance probability, and that's the term used to describe the intensity of a storm event and the associated flood that it causes. So it's used in flood studies to model the effects of different types of storm events. For example, a 1% AEP storm event has a 1% chance of occurring in a given year. So that replaces the old terminology of a 1 in 100 year ARI storm event. So when we see the following scenarios in this report, a 5% AEP or a
1% or a 0.5%. It's looking at what I used to call a once-in-20-year flood, a once-in-100-year storm event, a once-in-200-year event. Now, the results indicate that the flooding within the catchment is generally shallow, less than 300 mil, and slow, which is expected for the physical nature of the waterway. It also says that the impacts of storm surge are a marginal increase on existing riverine conditions, with the most notable impacts at the lower end of Gamala Road. The climate change assessment indicates a minimal impact on overall flooding. The fully developed scenario did show increases in flows and depths, not dissimilar to the climate change impacts, which were also studied in this report. And I just wanted to draw our attention before I finish those. I mean, you can read them in the report, but what I thought was very interesting is that at 4.88 on page 10, there is a considerably wide natural flow path, including a small farm dam, through the private land between Channel Highway and Bandala Road. Maintaining this flow path through any proposed redevelopment on this land is critical to, firstly, maintain the existing natural environment and ecological balance and amenity, and secondly, to minimise flooding impacts on subsequent land use planning outcomes. Strategic future-proofing of this area should be developed prior to any application to develop the land. So there's a number of recommendations about developing a framework to assess this, but basically, if and when development occurs, we need, as a council, to be mindful of the impact that that has on stormwater and flood and inundation. And I'm pleased to see that, as I said before, it's not as alarming as it potentially could be. However, it does make very useful recommendations about what we need to do as a council to prepare for those impacts. And I think it also, reading between the lines, or maybe I'm just putting my own interpretation on this, it's yet another example of why I think the conversation about headworks charges is an important one, because whenever development occurs, there are flow-on costs, pardon the hydrological pun there, there are costs that are worn by the council, and therefore developers need to be paying their fair share, particularly as we face a climate with more intense, high energy weather systems and more frequent and severe weather events. So thanks to everybody involved in this report. It's very comprehensive and an interesting read. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further contributions? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Cordova, for a really comprehensive summary. And it is a massive report, really, with so much detail and information and really useful information. I just had a question, really, about the recommendations, and I'm wondering if at all we can just be talked through those recommendations, just so I'm really clear in regards to what they are, if that's okay. If just a short little
or would
summary.
Would you like to ask a question on one
so
of them?
So maybe not all of them, okay. So just say recommendation B, that undertakes engagement with stakeholders to communicate the results of this study. So I guess engagement is very broad. We've got lots of engagement happening at the moment. We don't really have a massive team doing engagement. What does that look like? And I guess how does that, I guess I asked that one around the coastal policy and study as well, around how does that kind of ongoingly embed in council?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, yes, that's a really good point in terms of trying to engage with the community on a number of different matters. And as you pointed out there, we do have a limited team to actually try and do that. I guess with the flood studies, it does depend on what they actually are. So, for example, Council recently resolved to adopt the Kingston Beach flood study. Now, that has a greater effect on the community there and will involve a lot more in terms of the consultation with a lot more people as well. This is largely undeveloped land and a lot of it's vested in one property owner, albeit the fact that there's some other areas that are nearby that are actually affected with particular flooding as well. So it's probably a lesser type of engagement process that needs to be undertaken. Certainly there will be some stuff that we will need to do via our website. There'll be some stuff that we'll need to do in terms of direct sort of stakeholder engagement with those who are affected in that area. And there'll probably be some stuff that we may do through social media as well. But it would be very different in terms of what we'd be doing with this one as we might be doing with, for example, the Kingston Beach one, which probably will get delayed until a little bit further down the piece there when we have the resources to actually do it in a proper fashion.
Great, thank you. And the next one, I just had it written down. The point E, so request the preparation of development guidelines to consider rezoning. I guess that I'm just interested to know when we say request the preparation, like what does that look like?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, this will be a body of work that we'll need to do with our planning area to talk about what might actually happen in this space, bearing in mind this particular cell, the bulk of this particular section of land that we've actually looked at there is outside the urban growth boundary, but it may well be one, because it touches right next to it, that at some stage there might get rezoned or might change in terms of actually becoming more of an urban residential type area. It is prudent to actually try and develop some of these guidelines prior to that sort of stuff happening. So it's a body work probably between engineering and planning there to have a think about what that might mean. As Councillor Cordova pointed out, certainly, you know, some of the land there is impacted by a fairly bisecting overland path through a large parcel of the land there. So what that might mean going forward there, these are the type of things we'd like to have in place. So you're more prepped to try and deal with these things there if things change in terms of your land zoning.
Great, thank you.
Councillor Dean.
Councillor Midge has kind of asked the questions I wanted, but just to follow up on one point there that officers made, given that the land is... One of the reasons stated for doing this was because the catchment includes a sizeable area that is future residential development potential, and we know that one owner owns a lot of it and that it's obviously on the border with the urban growth boundary, which may or may not change. To what we find out here, Councillor Cordova has pointed out that it's not kind of probably as extreme as we may be thinking, reading the report, as Councillor Cordova and I both agree on that, but can I get a bit of perspective on endorsing this? What kind of impact might that have on the potential? Will there be significant changes, do you imagine, going forward with that residential development? Because I know there's a lot in the community that have asked about it and it's a very hot topic issue. So does this kind of change that issue at all?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, no, not really. I mean, I guess what it does is it provides us early information on it from a council perspective. So bearing in mind, if we, for example, didn't have this flood study and say that the everything had changed, the urban growth boundary had been expanded out there, had been rezoned there to urban residential, the developer had come in and said, we want to actually go and develop that now. One of the requirements of council would be that you do your own flood study, which would have identified exactly the same stuff that we're talking about here. What this allows us to do is have a look at what is the potential effect there, and bearing in mind we're talking about, for example, that overland flow path that bisects a large section of that land, allows us to actually have a look at that and actually get it ahead of the game a little bit there and develop some guidelines there, which is not only helpful for us, but it's actually helpful for the developer as well at the same time. It doesn't preclude development on that land in any shape or form. It just means that it allows for us to actually say, this is what we would suggest in terms of if this was to be developed, what you'll need to consider. So it's actually very helpful for the developer, but it's also very helpful for council.
Councillor Dean.
Yeah, so on that, and in terms of our engagement too that you've talked about briefly, would we be engaging with, in particular, that landowner given their intention for it in terms of helping, I guess, obviously achieve mutually beneficial outcomes in terms of potential residential development but also land conservation or flood management?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, look, I think they would be one of the main stakeholders, obviously. As I've mentioned there, there's a large proportion of the land that's vested in their name. And it's clear that from discussions council's had before, they are keen at some stage here to explore the option of actually developing that land. So I think it would be one of those key conversations to talk about what that might mean going forward. It also means it gives them the opportunity to do any pre-work there without wasting money or time and resources on maybe coming up with something there which is not necessarily going to be acceptable. It may well be that without actually having that body of work there, you know, the thought process is that we have a block of land there and we'll just fill that out with various different residential lots there. Providing this actually gives them something to go on there and actually say, well, that gives us an idea of in terms of a conceptual type plan that we might want to actually put in place.
Any further contributions? Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, this has been a very fruitful discussion and it's always good that we're looking in the long term, or at least we should always be looking in the long term. Something that we touched on briefly, but maybe not as much as we could have, is the cost of producing a very comprehensive report like this. I actually don't know off the top of my head what this report cost, but it's an example of where there's a clear benefit to the people who will ultimately, if they do, develop this land, and therefore, as I said before, it speaks volumes about needing a framework for headworks charges, because right now it's the ratepayers of Kingborough that are paying for this really comprehensive and useful information that is absolutely critical and necessary in order to do good urban design and prepare for future population growth. We're one of the fastest growing municipalities, but currently this cost is being worn by this council and therefore by the ratepayers of Kingborough, as opposed to being worn by the people who potentially will be making money out of changes to the land use in this particular area. So once again, I think it's a really interesting study, very useful, comforting actually, that the kind of flooding that we're talking about is not going to be catastrophic and devastating on the scale that it shows in the report. It's I guess, lower down the scale than catastrophic flooding, but it allows us to prepare in a good way, and I just think we really need to be mindful of the costs that council currently bears and therefore the need for developers to pitch in where that's appropriate. Thanks again.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. I'm going to put the recommendation now as printed on the screen. Moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Antoli. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried. We turn now to page 116, the financial report for August 2023. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Bain. Seconded Councillor Midgley. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. So the report we have before us is the financial report August 2023, and it tells us that the council's year-to-date result as at August 2023 is a $30 million underlying surplus, which is pretty much right on budget. The forecast result for 23-24 is now an underlying deficit of $688,000, and that's quite a big jump from last month, which was $238,000. Looks to be around the depreciation's increased from $500,000 over budget last month around the stormwater to now being $950,000 over budget at the end of financial year. So I'd be interested to know, I guess, what's changed between last month and this month for that increase to happen.
Sounds like a question for the new CFO, Mr. Spinks.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Look, the forecast has increased. My information is that the stormwater revaluation has contributed the major part of that, but the rest of it relates to a forecast that's been made for the capitalisation of assets in the current year and therefore the depreciation expense on those. So that's the major change between July results and this month.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you. No further questions.
Any further questions? If not, I will put the recommendation. Moved by Councillor Bain and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 140, Dog Management Policy Review, with a recommendation on page 143. And I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Don't all jump with enthusiasm. Come on, dog owners. Moved Councillor Midgley, seconded Councillor Cordova. Councillor Midgley.
Okay, I'm the lover of dogs tonight. I've always had a dog. So, the dog policy. Sorry, I'm just moving to that page. Councillors had a workshop on that, a really comprehensive workshop, and it seems a lot less controversial than other times that I was on council regarding a dog policy. And I'd like to thank staff for doing, you know, already on the ground, kind of talking to key stakeholders and getting some information to provide us with the policy that we see us tonight. And we will see, sorry, I'm just getting it over. So the policy includes a code relating to responsible ownership of dogs, a fee structure, and basically we are approving and some different areas, and that is the introduction of a proposed dog exercise area at Snug Beach, as shown in the diagram on page 141. There's a completion, as I said before,
of initial stakeholder consultation, the following themes were identified: simplified brochures, and as the Mayor has alluded to before, that they meet regularly with the Kingborough Dog Walkers Association and I guess keep up to date in regards to what their matters of concerns were, and this was one of the information that they've provided, looking at a council's going to look at an implement to an interactive map of all the declared areas on its website. There's also discussion around special dogs, acknowledgement of special dogs, so guide dogs, hearing dogs, assistant dogs with a policy and the significant role they play within the community. The importance of natural areas and biodiversity, which is supported by the prohibitions and restrictions within the policy, as we've discussed earlier, which was raised during that initial conversations with the community, the compostable dog poo bags, and also the dog strategy, so as that has been raised a number of years, and we look at that within budget constraints and things. The KWA has also proposed the development of a municipal dog strategy. The tracks and trails linkage on Hinsby Beach proposal was submitted to allow dogs on lead to traverse over Hinsby Beach to provide linkage with Alum Cliffs track and Taruna foreshore, but this did not have support from local community groups. So tonight, following this, it will go out for community engagement, the community in consultation, which is on page 142. And states that as part of the Act, we're required that Council invites public submissions relating to the proposed dog management policy. And it states that Council has completed initial stakeholders and also Council, which is a really great thing, that they're going to attempt to engage with Autism Tasmania and the Greyhound Adoption Program. And perhaps they'll be further, as it states there, that Council will continue to further engage, that they're also having input to the policy. So it looks like a really great, thorough review, and I look forward to other councillors' comments, but also really the community of dog owners that we have. I'm sure the Mayor knows the number, and it's actually probably in the report that I haven't written down in front of me.
About 5,800.
About 5,000 dog owners. So, and we know when we go out and about in our community, go down to all our beaches, all our recreation areas, everybody is always out there, you know, walking their dogs, go down on Blackmans Bay Beach in the morning. It's such a great social occasion to meet many dog owners. So I guess the only really question I had is around, if we can just have a bit of explanation around how that, again, I love those engagement questions, but how we are, I guess, putting that out to the community and just a bit of that time frame and then the process for it coming back to council.
Mr. Basham.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. So we'll be, in the event that the recommendation is successful tonight, we'll undertake our engagement program. We'll have a landing page on our website. We will also have a survey that can be undertaken. People can also write into council via email. They can provide hard copy communication with council if they wish. There'll also be, if someone needs to come in and talk to council officers, there'll be the ability to do that. Once we have all that information, which will approximately go for 4 weeks. That's what we're planning at this point in time. Once we have all that information, officers will review it, and then it'll be presented back to councillors for final ratification.
Further contributions, Councillor Gladright.
Thank you. I had a couple of questions, please. Could you please explain the change that's happened at the Kingston wetlands? Page 160 and 183.
Mr. Basham.
Through you, Mayor. The main change there is that the wetlands will stay as a prohibited area because it has habitat for sensitive wildlife, but we now have additional form tracks and roads through that area, so that will now be a restricted area to dogs on lead at all times.
Okay. Thank you. And then on page 147... there's Kingston View Drive and Kettering Reserve, and it had to be fenced, and that's been struck out. Does that mean they're not to be fenced any longer, or did they get a fence?
Mr. Basham.
Through you, Mayor. Kingston View Drive has been fenced, and my understanding, without looking at the historics, is that funds that were previously put aside for the fencing at Kettering have been used elsewhere in additional infrastructure of that area.
Okay. Thank you. And then Sorry, I've just been put on the spot about this one, but with our discussions with the Kingra Dog Walkers Association, it was raised about the southern end of Blackmans Bay Beach possibly being converted to a dog use area. I suppose I need to move an amendment, is that correct? If we want to include that in the review. Yeah. Yeah. Yes? move to discuss or...
Councillor Midgley and Councillor Cordover, would you be, as the mover and seconder of the motion, you're not prepared to consider that?
Then no.
You would need to propose a separate amendment that we would then debate.
Okay. I'd like to propose an amendment, please. I think it's worthy of including...
I need to get a seconder first before you go. Councillor Antoli. So moved Councillor Gladright, seconded Councillor Antoli. Now if you want to speak to the amendment.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Outline the amendment.
That we include in the review the southern end of Blackmans Bay...
In the consultation.
In the consultation, sorry. The southern end of Blackmans Bay Beach to be included as a dog use area.
Off-lead.
Off-lead area. So we're not deciding this tonight. All this amendment is saying is that it will be included in what goes out to the community and we'll be seeking their feedback, and then once we get their feedback, then we'll be deciding. So we're not actually deciding tonight.
So, have you finished your contribution? Because I'll speak on the amendment. I support the amendment based on the discussions that we've been having with the Kingborough Dog Walkers Association, but also a couple of other issues. As Chair of the Council's Disability Inclusion Access Advisory Committee, one of the things that has, you know, come to my attention is that people in the community, not everyone has access to a car, and if you want to walk your dog and you live in that Blackmans Bay area and you want to take your dog down to the beach, then you don't have that opportunity if you don't have public transport and you know, your own transport, and you can't take, unless it's a service animal, you can't take it on public transport with you. So there is a part of the community that would perhaps potentially like to walk their dogs down at Blackmans Bay Beach or let them run around that don't have access to that at the moment. But my other concern is that the Kingston Dog Beach is getting very crowded. Like, it is, on weekends, it is very, very busy. The southern end of Blackmans Bay Beach, I know, has been discussed many times, and I do feel like, I know that the community are quite divided about it. I would just like to really see us add it to the consultation and for the community to tell us what they think about it. It's not a very well-used part of the beach because of the stormwater pipe coming out in that area. It's not great for swimming, and I just think it would give another opportunity for dog owners who live locally to walk or have their dog off-lead in that area. So I kind of feel like it'd be really good to have the discussion. It might be that we get a lot of feedback on that and we come back and then we have to make a decision based on that feedback, but I think that it's incumbent upon us to put that as an option to the community as part of the consultation and engagement process. So I support the amendment. Councillor Antoli, you've got your light on, and then Councillor Fox.
I believe Councillor Fox was before me, but...
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. Yeah. I didn't see. I looked up and saw yours. Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Antoli. No, you just turned it off. Yeah. Councillor Fox.
It's hard to know where to start. I know we had this discussion at the workshop and we unanimously, I thought, decided that we would not include this in the consultation.
No, that's not correct.
There was a strong feeling around the table that we were not going to include the southern end of Blackmans Bay for
dog walking. No, we didn't actually talk about Blackmans Bay Beach at the workshop, because I went back and checked my notes when we had the meeting with the Kingborough Dog Walkers Association as to whether it was discussed or not, so there certainly wasn't any unanimous couldn't have been a unanimous vote. For a start, we don't make decisions.
Well, that's my recollection of the situation. I don't have my notes of the meeting with me, but I have a strong feeling about this area because this is where I grew up as a child. I used to use this part of the beach as the most sheltered part during summer because there's no sea breeze down here. There are always little children down there that like to have the safety of that area to swim on a summer's day. And also to play games. It's also frequented by a lot of birds, which are, some people see them as a nuisance, but they're a natural element of this environment, and they'd be very disturbed by having dogs racing through their mobs like they do on other beaches where they're allowed. It's something to say the community are divided, but I thought that the Blackmans Bay Progress Association, which we referred to when we discussed this issue, was very strongly against it, and that was conveyed to us by, I thought, by Mr. Basham.
So can I just clarify that, because I've also had meetings with the Blackmans Bay Community Association as recently as last week, and they did not have a formal position in relation to this. They are split in relation to it. Some of them who are dog owners would like it, others don't, but they indicated to us that if an amendment of this sort was put forward, that they would debate it and come back to us with a formal position.
The other point I want to raise is the fact that Browns River is regularly contaminated, and that area has been a dog walking beach for many, many years. In fact, I introduced that as the first dog walking beach in Tasmania when I first got elected in 1988. And I feel that this area is completely different. There may be occasional contamination during high stormwater flows in winter, but during the summer months, this area is relatively clean, and we have had spillages by Tas Water, which used to be council's facilities, but those things have been now stopped, and I think the beach is relatively clean by comparison to other locations. I feel that Blackmans Bay is frequented by a lot of dogs walking their dogs on lead, or people walking their dogs on lead. It's a very popular area, and people are very disciplined about that. And I think that is a very good thing. We can't go providing beaches for people who live in all of the areas for taking their dogs because they don't have a car. I don't think that is a relevant consideration. When you look at how many people drive their cars to the Kingston Beach dog walking area, and perhaps they can catch a bus to Kingston Beach or take their dogs along the street on a lead. A beach is not a good place for dogs to be and to pollute. We've had concerns about the amount of pollution caused by dogs in this area and for diseases, which Dr. Nigel Abbott pointed out to us, which are contaminated to children. I mean, they go swimming, they sit in the sand, they play in the sand at this end of the beach, and they don't want to have diseases that are carried by dogs, and they are more likely to pick up in the sand in this sheltered area, which isn't a suitable place for dogs. So I would be very strongly against even considering putting this on the agenda for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Next I had Councillor Antoli and then Councillor Cordova. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you to Councillor Glade-Wright for putting forward the amendment, which I support, because we're asking simply to hear the democratic vote of the people in that community. I find it unacceptable that we would stand in front of a democratic consultation, say, no, you will not consult, no community, you will not give feedback. We will decide what's good for you, and we will make up your mind at this table. I think this is a great opportunity to hear their feedback, and then let it happen. And I invite all my colleagues here who don't like this proposal, you can throw your feedback into it. You're entitled to answer the survey, as I will be, and hopefully all the local members will be. So I just simply encourage my colleagues, it's just asking the community to have their say, and if the pendulum falls against it, so be it, and if it falls for it, so be it. It's really quite simple.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Three, four questions. First question is, may we please hear an explanation as to why it wasn't included in the original report that we're seeing? And parenthetically, in my notes from the workshop, there was mention made of both Spring Farm and Blackmans Bay Beach, so certainly in my notes from our discussions, there clearly was discussion about it. Why didn't Blackmans Bay Beach South end up in the report that we have before us?
Mr. Basham.
Through you, Mayor. As has been highlighted, the Kingborough Dog Walking Association did raise this matter in relation to Blackmans Bay South with our initial stakeholder engagement. At the community forum, no further information was provided to officers in that engagement process. Furthermore, we had conversations with the president of the Blackmans Bay Community Association. One of the questions that was asked is what were the historics and the historic use of that portion of land, and they're obviously advised that it's never been accessible to dogs. Some of the points that have been already raised being that have previously been raised over the last two dog management policies that I'm aware of, that it's generally more sheltered down that end of the beach. And in that discussion, my recollection, which is slightly different to what's been portrayed tonight, is that they didn't at that point in time wish for, council or myself to advocate for that declaration at that southern end of the beach.
Thank you. And through you, Mayor, is it relevant to this discussion? So what I just heard was that they didn't at the time, the Dog Walkers Association didn't at the time advocate for it, but I'm getting the sense that that has changed and now there's a big push or advocacy for it. No, I'm seeing it. That's a question.
My understanding is it's always been on their agenda. What they said during the consultation, I don't know.
And so I guess my question...
There is a desire from them that they put very strongly to the meeting recently that be included.
Through you, Mayor.
And that it be tested with the community.
Sure thing. Through you, Mayor, can I ask, through you, Mayor, for a staff feedback about whether that advocacy could be characterised as strong? Is there a strong level of support
from
the consultation?
That from the meetings that the Deputy Mayor and myself have had with them, there was.
Okay, thank you. My next question is, what have been the environmental impact assessments or analysis of putting dogs on Blackmans Bay Beach South?
Mr. Basham.
Through you, Mayor, I'm not aware of any specific assessments.
I don't know that we do them for any beaches that we do off-lead. We don't do environmental impacts.
Yep, thank you. And through you, Mayor, would people in the feedback sessions and consultation that's being proposed in the original motion, would people be forbidden from adding in their opinions about Blackmans Beach South in the feedback responses? So if they feel so inclined to write in about Blackmans Beach South, they wouldn't be precluded from doing that, would they?
No, because what this amendment is potentially doing is asking as part of the survey that would go out, I imagine, if we're following previous engagement processes, what do you think of this sort of, so it would be included as part of that, as a prompting question to get more feedback, not leaving it as a silent thing and not addressed. Because I think this issue comes up every time we review the dog policy, so let's sort of go out to consultation about it and see what the community think. I don't think there's any harm in asking them what's the worst thing that could happen. 20% might say yes, 80% might say no, then I think we've got our answer. But I do believe in asking the community in relation to this.
Thank you. So through you, Mayor, I guess my analysis of the situation is that
what we've got is a report that's been prepared on the basis of some discussions and consultation. We've had a workshop on it, so council has got some information, and now at a late stage, without an amendment having been circulated previously, without any, like, I wasn't in those meetings with the Dog Walkers Association, so I'm kind of being asked to support an amendment on the back of, well, I don't really have any of the evidence before me, nor is it in the report, to warrant the inclusion of such an amendment in the original motion. So my feeling is quite strong, actually, that in any kind of consultation that we undertake, it's supposed to be an open and democratic and transparent discussion where people can bring their opinions to the table, and I think that that's good. But should we kind of lead people in a certain direction in that discussion? Well, not beyond the beyond the work that's already actually been conducted and that councillors were privy to that workshop. So should we, because of course by the same logic, if you say, well, we want to include Blackmans Bay South because we want to help lead that discussion, we want to drive discussion or focus people's attention on that area, so you could say it too for every single other area of Kingborough, right? So the reason why we've selected the areas that we've selected in this report was obviously on the basis of some discussions that were had, some consultation, and also the workshop that councillors received on it. So at this late stage, and particularly without having got any context previously from the discussions that clearly some councillors have had but others have not, I haven't had any of those discussions, nor do I have any emails in my inbox that I'm aware of from people saying, please, this is really important that you include it. I just think that it's not warranted, and so I won't be supporting it.
Thank you. Can I just clarify whether the issue about whether we discussed this at the workshop? My notes of the workshop of the 24th of July didn't indicate any discussion about Blackmans Bay Beach. We did discuss Taroona, and the difference there with access to, so with Hinsby Beach, was that both the Taroona Environment Network and the Taroona Community Association were against the concept of dogs accessing Hinsby Beach, which is why it wasn't added to the list of potential areas. We did also discuss at length Snug Beach, and noting that the Conyngham and Lower Snug Community Association were very in favour of that. Following our meeting with the Dog Walkers Association, I did ask Mr Basham whether we had had any significant discussion regarding dogs having off-lead access to the southern end of Blackmans Bay Beach, and because neither the Deputy Mayor or I could remember it, and the answer was that there was no significant discussion at that workshop. So I'm just, that was our recollection. Obviously we all recollect things differently, but then I'm being guided by Mr Basham's advice in relation to whether we did have a discussion about it, and certainly that wasn't reflected in my notes. So the Deputy Mayor has raised this tonight in response to a request from the Kingborough Dog Walkers Association, and I've got to say it would be really good if we could get to the point of having a dog strategy for Kingborough, because then we wouldn't have these lengthy discussions, and I've been advocating for a dog strategy for about 3 years now as a way of having a more holistic approach and and mapping out all our different areas. But we didn't manage to get that up in the last couple of budget deliberations. So I have on my list now, if I'm not mistaken, Councillor Dean on the amendment.
Yeah, just a couple of questions to Mr Basham. If this is when this is actually presented to the community, if this is indeed passed, I note that you've got in the policy a number of maps very clearly delineating where, for example, that will go, but looking at the amendment, it's obviously just one sentence. It says Blackmans Bay, southern end. Could you potentially just clarify how would this then be presented? Will it be that it would be just like it's Snug Beach is, for example, the southern end? Will you delineate exactly where it is? Maybe could you just explain what are we talking southern end beach, because 50%, just the bit where the roundabout is. Yeah.
Mr Basham.
Through you, Mayor. To the best of my knowledge, I believe that the location would be only on the sand and would be south of the stormwater pipe to the end of the sand beach. That's my understanding of the area that's being referred to. The way that I believe it would be best presented in the event that the amendment was successful is that we would ultimately amend the attached draft dog management policy to reflect that new map and that new proposed declaration, and then that would be clear to the community who's reviewing that draft policy.
Councillor Dean.
I find this one a little bit tricky, to be honest. I mean, as Councillor Cordova has pointed out, usually as councillors, as directors of this organisation, we kind of give a bit of a heads up, give a bit of background, give a context. To be landed with something at the last minute without the context does surprise me, because it goes against kind of what we've done in the past. And I also wonder, with the answer that you just provided, by having it in as we have for, say, Snug Beach, and we have for Summerlees Road and Scott Road Reserve, that it's kind of might be perceived as a bit of a fait accompli in terms of that it's, we've decided it's in, can you come and now tell us the opposite? Because that's exactly what we're putting out. We're putting out, this is what we think we would like based on the initial feedback. It's not in there right now, which I do struggle with. I don't know why, if there was such a strong feeling, as you point out, the Mayor, from the Kingborough Dog Walks Association, if it was such a strong point, why isn't it actually in here? Unfortunately, I wasn't part of the workshop. I take Councillor Antoli's point that, you know, putting it out there, I don't necessarily have a big issue with putting it out there, and I don't understand why it wasn't in to begin with. I really don't know where to land on this one. My last question, I suppose, is a bit more specifics around the southern end. Just to clarify, is this going to be all year round, or is this just a winter use or a timed use, or all year round?
The mover of the amendment would have to answer that. Deputy Mayor.
To be honest, I really haven't thought about it very much, and I think we need to be guided by the community on this. Like, I think it's really concerning that councillors are already displaying an opinion when we're supposed to be coming to this council room with an open mind. What this amendment is asking for is some consultation, and the feedback is what I'll be basing my opinions on. So it hasn't been worked out yet, all of those details.
Councillor Dean, still on the amendment.
Still really unconvinced by that statement. I hear what you're saying, let's put it out to the community, but that process has been done and now it's missing, and I don't think anyone here is jumping to an opinion. I haven't voiced an opinion either way on this exactly. It's more about the process that we as a council and as councillors operate collaboratively and help one another out by providing the context as to why such a proposal. And I think the nuance to this debate is, we've talked about nuance earlier around compostable bags. The nuance in this debate is how it then gets presented. It's clear that when I look at the draft management, the draft policy as it stands, it very much reads as if this is what we've proposed based on the feedback. Come and tell us otherwise. It's not just a matter of just asking one question. So, I'm happy to put it out to the community. I am not a dog owner. I represent people with young families, and I know in particular that with a toddler, I share an experience with other people with young families around that. So I've obviously got an opinion, but I take your point that we want to go out with to the community and hear from them. I just am really confused as to why we didn't get anything as councillors before us, and why it wasn't just in there originally. But I think as it stands, I'll probably just happy to support the amendment, but not with open arms.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Councillor Dean's raised some really good points and discussions there, because I keep an open mind on things, and I also am a bit shy, because last time we did the dog policy review, the contention and divide in the community around the dogs on beaches at Blackmans Bay was quite very distressing for quite a number of people, and during that time there was a big division in the community. I'm sure councillors at the time remember that. It just was not a great time, and so I guess I am open to
people having their say, but noting from the people that I've spoken to and that historically it was a definite big no for the community. I do also recall that it was raised in the workshop. I looked at my notes. I didn't take notes on everything. I'm sure someone had asked a question about it, and I thought it was the reason why it is not in the report before us tonight is because it wasn't agreed that we would go forward with that, and it was agreed that it was a contentious issue, that we wouldn't put that forward. We are looking at a dogs on beaches area in the snug area, and that's really great to have that, and that was brought to us by the Conyngham and Lower Snug Community Association. Definitely echo what Councillor Fox has said around that area is a high use area for children with young families. It's my favourite place to swim. I've always taken my children there because it often isn't, you know, the sea is more calm in that corner there. And also just the information that we haven't been provided as we have with others, as Councillor Dean has said, who has decided that it's just a sand area? You go down to Blackmans Bay Beach and you quite see a number of people in the summertime walking along the rocks there with their dogs. I think there's even confusion in the community. They think that it's okay to walk along the rock sort of area there. So I guess we haven't got the information, we haven't got the research, we haven't got the environmental impact. I do like that the community has a say, but at this point, I feel like historically, I know the community has absolutely said that division has been there, and there's been a much stronger response to having no to dogs on that section of the beach.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Bain on the amendment.
Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, just a question. With the initial consultation, was there any other areas that were raised that didn't actually make the final cut, such as Blackmans Bay?
Mr. Basham can answer that. Not that have been raised with me by others, but Mr. Basham?
Through you, Mayor. KDWA did also raise Conyngham Beach for access to dogs. There's been a long historic use of that where there's no dogs, and there's also quite a vocal community group to reducing dogs or not having any dogs on that beach. So that's another example.
Okay, and just a second question. If this amendment does get up, and if it's an overwhelming, people want the Blackmans Bay beach use, that portion of the beach use is an off-lead area, the report that came back to council would then do all the investigation into the environmental impacts and everything else to do with that?
We don't normally... my understanding is, in answer to the question earlier about the environmental impact, is we don't normally do environmental impact studies on specific off-lead dog areas, but Mr. Basham, I'm sure, can answer that.
Through you, Mayor, that's correct. To the best of my knowledge, we don't do environmental impacts on our beach areas. What will occur but would be an assessment in relation to sensitive habitat for native wildlife to, I guess, ensure that the area was appropriate for that use.
Yeah, I just need to remember that for Snug we did some of those non-environmental, but the foreshore was looked at.
Yeah, so for example, like Boronia Beach is dogs prohibited because we know of the penguin colonies and that sort of thing, so, yeah.
Okay, and the only other thing I was going to say is touching on what Councillor Dean raised, if this amendment did get up, I would like to see that the report itself and this issue about Blackmans Bay are totally two different things, and Blackmans Bay is just included in the survey itself. So that it's quite clear it's not part of the draft plan. We're just asking the question as to do you want it, yes, no. So there's no confusion. I think that's important, as Councillor Dean's raised.
Thank you. Noted. Councillor Cordova, do you have a question?
Yes.
You've spoken on the amendment.
Thank you. Yes, so just a question about trying to get a sense of the proposal in terms of the proximity to the playground and where would the lines be drawn... Yes, so because there's obviously there's families with young children, and I realise that in the policy itself you can't have dogs, I think it's 10 metres from a playground, so I'm just trying to get a sense of if this amendment goes through, where is the proposal in proximity to the playground? That's my first question.
The other end of the beach. The playground's in the middle.
Yeah, so how then do we typically... enforce or stop dogs that are off-lead from going near playgrounds?
The same way we do at Kingston Beach, where you've got an off-lead dog beach and a playground down the other end.
So they just have to be under effective control,
yeah.
But we don't have, obviously, people down there enforcing it.
It's a large enough distance, and then it with any of these issues with dogs on-lead or off-lead, we don't have the resources to be policing it proactively. And I certainly know that despite the fact that we now have stenciling on the newly built whitewater track, which I walk regularly, I will turn a corner nearly every time and there'll be somebody with a dog off-lead that is running towards me because dog owners like to have their dogs off-lead. Yet when they look down, there's a stencil which says, you know, it's got to be on-lead. The compliance team will respond to complaints that are made.
Thank you. And so do we take special measures in other beaches where there's a high frequency? Obviously, there's always a high frequency of pedestrians and young people at beaches. Do we take special measures in special areas to maintain a separation of dogs off-lead from recreational activity on beaches? Like, are there examples at Kingston, for example? Do we do anything differently to protect people from dogs in those areas?
Mr. Basham.
Children.
Through you, Mayor, as the Mayor's highlighted, there's limited resources at Council in relation to this matter. So based on that, we need to ensure that we put out the resources that we do have into the areas that, I guess, have the highest use. So as you could appreciate, it would be more likely that we would have an officer down at Kingston Beach at the dog off exercise area due to the amount of dogs that are used in that area and the amount of people in that area, potentially versus Middleton.
Thank you. And so our final question is just about, for example, Kingston Park. I'm trying to get a sense of there must be some threshold, there must be some benchmark that we typically say where, okay, there's too many children in this neighbourhood, there's too many children who are playing in this area, so we probably don't want dogs off lead right here. There's got to be some benchmark or threshold, and I'm trying to get a sense of what that benchmark or threshold is in order to determine whether or not it's a good idea to have off lead dogs, or even to ask the community whether it's a good idea to have off lead dogs on a beach. It's a really important point.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do with this amendment, is ask the community if they think it's a good idea.
No, and so to clarify my question, I don't want to ask the community what they think about it. I want to ask the experts. Excuse me. I want to ask the experts, what is the threshold or benchmark that we take for community safety to avoid nuisance or problem dogs in areas where children are playing? How do we determine where it's a good idea to have off-lead dogs and children in close proximity? How do we determine that?
Well, I don't know, but I can say that every time, despite the fact that in Browns River, you probably shouldn't, it's not a desirable place to let your kids play, but I quite often go down there on a nice day and there are young children playing, sitting in the water at the end of Browns River and dogs running around them, and that's an active choice the parents are making, despite the fact that there are warning signs saying don't let your children play in Browns River because of the contamination. Mr. Basham, do you have an answer, please?
Through you, Mayor, the Act specifies prohibited public places, which is things such as schools or, in this example here, a playground with inside 10 metres of a playground. It is relevant to, I guess, acknowledge that Hawthorne Drive does have an exercise area that actually has a fenced playground contained within that area. And to the best of my knowledge, we haven't actually had any issues in Hawthorne Drive dog exercise area. And that's quite a historic exercise area. It's been an exercise area since I've been here at Council.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, Councillor Dean?
I just want to know, when I think of dog beaches, I think of my local one at Taroona, and it's clearly delineated because there's a boat ramp, and that makes clear sense to me. Knowing Blacklands Bay Beach, can you just potentially give us an idea of how on earth do you go about delineating, apart from just a sign? Is it literally just a sign?
The stormwater pipe.
Okay, so that's where that is actually where we're doing the cutoff?
Because it's a physical structure.
Okay, all right. Sorry, my follow-up to that was, will that be included as part of the survey question, as Councillor Baines pointed out, that we'll provide specifics of exactly where it is, etc.
That would need to happen. I mean, we're not going to draft the survey question here because we have a communications and engagement advisor whose job is to appropriately draft survey questions so they're not, you know, misleading or anything like that. But certainly I would imagine that if we were putting this out, that we would need a map to indicate, as there are for other areas here within the report, to indicate specifically what area we're talking about and to make it clear where it is. Okay, any further discussions on the amendment? Councillor Glade-Wright, did you want to sum up the amendment?
Sure. Just to say, I'm not much of a doggy person. I really don't like them very much, but that's got nothing to do with anything. I very much appreciate areas where there aren't dogs personally, but my personal opinion isn't particularly relevant here. I also see how packed the dog beach at Kingston Beach is, and I'm aware that there are many people in the community that love their dogs, and we are a growing municipality, so I think that it's important that we consider the needs of dog users as well. But I just want to reiterate that point. My personal opinion is not particularly relevant, and I'm here to represent the community, and I think that it's important that we pose this question to them and get their feedback on this. I just wanted to say as well about amendments and sending it around to everybody prior to council meetings, that's not a requirement. We don't have to do that. So that's the fact that this wasn't circulated previously isn't particularly relevant. Amendments can be brought up at any stage. So that's my summing up. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to put the amendment. It is as printed on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Glade-Wright, seconded by Councillor Antoli, and the amendment is to include in the consultation the southern end of Blackmans Bay Beach as an off-lead dog area. All those in favour of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Against?
No.
A show of hands is required. All those in favour, as Councillors Antoli, Dean, Bain, Richardson, Street, Glade-Wright and Reet, and those against is Councillors Fox, Cordova and Midgley. The amendment is carried. We are now back on the substantial motion, which includes the amendment as part of it. I've now lost track of who's spoken on the substantial motion because it was so long ago, but it was moved by Councillor Midgley, so she's spoken. Sorry, and you're the only one. So, contributions on the substantial motion. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be fairly brief with my contribution, but to say that it's a really important policy, and it's one that people take a lot of interest in, and so I think it's good that we will be taking this now to the next stage and receive those public submissions. It's good that we recognise in the policy the benefits of dog ownership. I think that's really fundamentally important, and it's good that we recognise that a responsible dog owner is one who provides for animal welfare considerations, and therefore tacitly what we're saying is that there's animal rights that need to be maintained and protected, and I think that's really important as well. I think it's important that we've recognised that for many people dogs are part of the family, and of course as we've been discussing particularly in this recent amendment, there's also an understanding that dogs aren't part of everyone's family and that people have different levels of tolerance and they've got different backgrounds and different fears, different experiences, and that's okay. And we need to respect that, and we need to make sure that any potential nuisance caused by dogs to the public is minimised. And I think that this policy as it's drafted is attempting to find that balance, attempting to strike that balance, and it'll be informed by the feedback from the community. But importantly, it should be, it must be, informed by council's own experience of public safety, of expert opinions that council is able to procure, and not just be guided by the feelings or the wants of particular groups, but guided by public safety and guided by respectful communities. I mean, we're all trying to strike good balances and find compromise. And also, when we are balancing those competing interests, we need to be particularly mindful, I think, to our incredible natural environment, our amazing natural assets that we've got that give Kingborough such a sense of pride and local identity, because After all, part of the reason why so many people love moving to Kingborough and visiting Kingborough is because we have those incredible natural assets and biodiversity values. So we need to protect those, and we need to keep the community and the environment safe. And this whole process, this extensive consultation, it's about finding the middle ground, about finding reasonable compromises for those competing interests. And so I think the extensive consultation is critical to achieving that balance, so that the 5,800 dogs, the 40,000 residents, the many visitors, and our wonderful wildlife are all kept happy and safe. We do have sensitive habitat for native flora and fauna, and we have to make sure that is protected, because that is indeed part of the reason why Kingborough is such a great place to be. And also, we are stewards of this great part of the world, and so we need to protect that as well. So with all that in mind, I look forward to seeing the next part of the consultation, and I do encourage everyone to get involved, have your say. Don't be fearful of having your say. You know, you might get shouted down every now and again, but it doesn't mean that you don't have an open mind. It doesn't mean that you're not trying your best to find a good and happy medium just because you have a different opinion on dogs than somebody else. It is okay to not want dogs in a particular area, and it is okay to want dogs in a particular area. So as we move forward in that spirit of goodwill and collaboration, I think we can have respectful discussion, and I really hope that this consultation isn't as divisive as it has been in the past, that everyone's voice is heard and that everyone's voice is respected. I look forward to the next steps of this engagement. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Any further discussions on the substantive motion? Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to thank staff for the effort. This is a controversial space. I want to thank the Kingborough Dog Walkers Association for getting in on the action and having their voice heard, but also the other dog owners who aren't part of the Kingborough Dog Walkers Association. This is your chance to have your voice heard. So when the survey comes out, pitch in, be heard, stand up, and you know, let your voice be heard without wanting to sound too controversial. I just think we just need choice. It comes down to choice. You know, let the community decide, as Councillor Claire Gladewright said. Let the community decide that you have their voice. Let's bring what they've said to the table. That's how we build this community. And let's not stand in the way and say to their voice, thus, you know, none shall pass. We'll decide for you. There are things that we should, as council, definitely make decisions on. We can't consult every little thing that comes by our table. But these sorts of issues are not little. They're substantial. And so credit to the Mayor and for the Deputy Mayor for bringing that up.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. I'm going to ask Councillor Midgley if you'd like to sum up.
Thanks, everyone, for their contributions, and thanks again, staff. It is a big job to put all this together and to then put it out to the community and provide another report to us, so much appreciated.
Thank you. I'm going to put the motion. It's the amended motion, which includes the additional provision as printed on the screen. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. I'm going to call a short recess because we've still got quite a few things to get through. We've got the appendices and then going into closed session. So if we could say to everybody at home, we'll be back in about 7 or 8 minutes. We'll try. Thank you very much for your patience, and we'll be back shortly. It's 7:25. Thank you very much for those who are watching along at home for your patience. Welcome back to the second part of the meeting. We're on page 189. We've got appendices with a recommendation for them to be received and noted, and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder for that, please. I've got a mover in the Deputy Mayor and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Any questions? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. My question relates to, I think it's the Safety Committee minutes regarding the Leslie Vale turn-off intersection of the highway and Leslie Vale. Can we just hear a bit more detail about, I guess, the genesis of the request to change speed limits, and also what is to be done now and what the process is and what research will be done by the powers that be to figure out whether that's a good idea or not?
I'll ask, as the Chair of the Safety Committee, I'll ask the Deputy Mayor to answer that because she's privy to the discussions at the meeting.
Sure. So the concerns that were raised at the Safety Committee were just around the safety of that intersection and the fact that the quarry currently is requesting an expansion. So there's concerns that there will be increased large trucks entering that intersection. The intersection's also at the top of a hill, so it's on a crest. And then those cars that are turning right into Leslie Road have to sit in the middle there, in the middle of a 100-kilometre section. So I think there are some pretty relevant safety concerns. So I think the motion was that the Mayor send a letter to the Transport Minister, and I believe you've done that correct.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, so that letter went, I think, the week before last, so we don't have a response as yet.
Thank you. And just to kind of tease that out a bit more, is the process typically that if a request like that is to be sent to the Minister, then it's just up to the Mayor to decide whether or not to do it, or at what stage does it come back before Council in order to determine whether or not... I guess it all depends on what the content of the letter is, because I'm just interested to know how Council's framing this. Is it Council's opinion now that the investigation into the change of speed limit is warranted there? I mean, I guess I just really need to see the letter in order to know how it looks. Because just for context, I remember that there was a bit of a discussion about a previous speed limit change suggestion at the Sandfly intersection a couple of years ago with the then Deputy Mayor. And I guess I just want a bit more clarity about the process of when we send these letters off and what's the process.
So normally if there is an action like that, it would come as a form of a motion, like be pulled out of the minutes and come in the form of a motion for us to consider. But I don't think that happened on this occasion. I just realised we might have just erred in that process. But I think after the one that you're referring to about the Sandfly intersection, we did then move to that practice that... that those sort of representations need to be signed off by all of us. So I apologise that that was not followed through.
Thank you, that's all.
Any further questions? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Can I just add a little comment about the speed limit, that discussion conversation, if that's okay?
Yeah, sure.
So at the Kingborough Community Forum, there's a fantastic presentation regarding the speed limits, and that I think that matter, I can't remember if Mr. Spee might be able to remember, but that matter might have been raised. But also the person who gave the presentation, sorry, the name's not in front of me, they basically said that, you know, not only can council make these submissions, but they encourage like community members to make the submissions as well. So just to remember for people in our safety committees and whatever, if they want to personally make a contribution, a submission regarding lowering speed limits, they also can do that as well.
Yes, and we do, because there is a lot of community interest in this area, we do now have up on our website an information section about how somebody can actually, you know, what the process is for speed limits to be changed, to provide some guidance to individuals and to different community organisations as well. Did you have a further
Thank
question?
You. There was a further question, sorry, and I've just moved it. It was on the Kingborough Waste Services report, and I've moved from the... have to come back to it. Sorry, if that's okay. I'm so sorry. I've
that's
moved
okay.
from the page
no,
I was
I'll
on.
Come back to you then. I then had Councillor Antolli and then Councillor Bain.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Mayor, just about your trip to Canberra, if you wouldn't mind maybe just updating us on any learnings or insights from that trip that's worth sharing with the Council and the community. There's even some interesting things here about artificial intelligence, so I'd be keen to just have a quick verbal report, if that's all right.
Yep. So as part of my role now as the Director of the Australian Local Government Association, we had a board meeting and then a strategic planning day because we recently appointed a new CEO who was a former advisor to the Minister for Local Government, Kirsty McBain. So it was an opportunity to start to consider collectively what we want to be, I guess, strategically pursuing for the local government sector Australia-wide. At the moment, what we've got is what I would say is not a strategic plan. It's titled that, but it's more of an advocacy plan, and a strategic plan an advocacy plan should really fall out of a strategic plan. There's no sort of visionary stuff there. So we've started that that process, and that was a really productive day. And then one of the two things that the Australian Local Government Association puts on every year is both the National Local Government Congress, but also the National Roads, let me get the title right, Roads, Transport and Infrastructure Congress. And look, I'll be the first to admit that when I saw the title of that name, my eyes nearly glazed over, and I was only able to be there for one day of it, and it was absolutely superb. And the topics were, I kind of thought that we might just be discussing you know, best practice in road maintenance and building and that sort of thing. And it was far broader than that. And in fact, one of the sessions that I chaired was in relation to the use of artificial intelligence to track the movements of all road users, or about 10 different kinds at the moment that are put into this program, to then check the safety of different intersections. So it was about, particularly about cyclists and the way cyclists interact with cars and trucks turning around corners. And so you can get a really accurate picture with this software of, you know, what are the, it uses the artificial intelligence to recognise that that was a near miss, and that was, you know, that was a crash, there was an impact there, and this happened and that happened. And it was developed in the UK. It's now being used in Australia, and they were able to give us some live examples of showing where it is. I think the one that we looked at was in a junction at St Kilda. And in talking to the presenter for that, it's four of those cameras that have actually just been installed in Hobart. In Macquarie and Davey Streets, and he couldn't remember the other two locations. So that was a really interesting learning for me about that. And we also had a number of panels that covered a range of issues. There was one that was interesting about, because there were representatives from all around Australia, and the Mayor of Gladstone, who's also a director, he's the Vice President of the Australian Local Government Association, was talking about how many roads they've got, how many thousands of kilometres of roads that they have as a remote location, and the way that they actually dealt with it is literally to get a condition report is they set people off with a GoPro attached to the front of the car, and then they go around and they have all this footage that they collect of the condition of their roads so that they can then go back and analyse it and assess it. But what they found is with increasing natural disasters, such as floods in those areas, they've at least got some proof for the insurance company that the road was up to standard in the event that it is then impacted by natural disaster. So it was a really worthwhile conference. I know that we did host it here in Tasmania last year, but I think they, as part of the feedback, they're trying to work out whether it should always be in Canberra or whether it should move around to regional areas. But my infomercial is, if you get a chance to go to one of these, because they are open to any local government representative from around the country, is that you do, if you've got an interest in some of these topics, to go along to the next one in next year, because it was certainly a much broader set of topics than I initially thought. And I had to come back. I couldn't go to the second day of it, and I was actually disappointed that I wasn't there to hear more of the stuff. And I think there was even talk about affordable housing on the second day as well, and I missed that. So, yeah, who knows? That was full of surprises for me. Further questions? Councillor Bain.
Can I just add something on the Huon Highway safety community discussion?
Sure.
The other interesting thing that was raised is that the state government's done the Huon Highway corridor study.
Yeah.
And this intersection was one of the top things that was raised through that. So there is a lot of evidence behind the community seeing it as a concern.
And
not,
that's
not
why
just the safety community, yes, but broader. Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's why there's interest in what the response might be, given that it was, I think, the number two or number three priority in that study, and yet years later there's no action being taken on it. So we look forward to seeing that response. Councillor Midgley, have you remembered?
Thank you. I did find it, yes. I had a bit of a chuckle when I read this, actually. The 8.3 on page 247,
just where it notes about the councillor workshop, we discussed a series of insightful and stimulating dialogues took place and a number of consequential amendments were put forward. These proposals were effectively incorporated into the all-encompassing presentation, producing a highly impressive outcome.
Could you tell me what item you're actually on, though?
So 8.3, councillor workshop. So 247 in the waste services section.
Oh, waste services. Sorry, that was
sorry. Just in that. Anyway, yeah. I just wondered what were the consequential amendments were put forward. I just kind of wondered what that was.
How can Mr. Reeve will be able to tell us that?
Three, Mayor. Look, I'm very disappointed that you don't remember what the consequential amendments actually are, Councillor Midgley. So I'll just put that on the record there. look. I have to admit I didn't actually write this, so so it does look like something I would write, but no, I didn't. So I'm not so sure I can actually properly answer your question, although I do think it was quite an insightful and stimulating dialogue that we did actually have at the workshop there. And I guess one person's consequential amendment is might not be necessarily another person's consequential amendment. And hopefully that answers your question.
I'm glad that the board of KWS were pleased with the workshop and the level of engagement. It was actually a very interesting workshop. Councillor Dean.
Just a question relating to the cycling committee's minutes. Action 21 on page 314 talks about the Channel Highway Taroona bike lanes bid, which we know we passed as part of the budget, which is $250,000. It says there the concept design for bike lane upgrades was attached to the agenda. I'd be very interested in seeing it. It's not obviously attached maybe to save paper, but if it to be shared to at least me or any other councillor might be interested, I'd love to see it.
Can you make that happen, Mr. Reeve?
Through you, Mayor, yeah, absolutely can send that out to you so you can have a look at where it is in concept. So just as a little brief interlude. So effectively what we've come up with is probably going to be a little bit more than what's actually in the budget, but we have put forward for some grant funding, and if we're lucky enough to get that, then we should be able to extend that out further. But certainly happy to send the concept in all its beauty to you.
Yep.
To every single one.
thanks.
And there'll be questions on it at the next meeting. Councillor Dean.
Look, I just note there were obviously some feedback and I will follow up with you separately on that anyway when I get it from you. Just one last question around a meeting you had or chaired as part of our council's multicultural advisory group. I note that's from the 8th of August, but I note we did actually meet last week as well. So I'm just wondering if you might be able to provide a quick update on where the group is at.
Thank you. Yes, we have worked through the process of developing the survey and the survey is now out for public consultation. And it's the concept of actually putting together a survey sounds like a really simple one, but there is a science behind it and it can't be too lengthy, but we wanted to make sure that we were getting the information that would inform members of the committee. And I think that's been a good process so far. So it's out for public consultation. It went out last week. It's open for four weeks. So we would certainly be interested in anybody filling it out who... it doesn't have to be that you were... born overseas yourself, but anybody who has, because some of the questions relate to have you ever witnessed racism or discrimination or bias within the community. So we're hoping to get a range of feedback from that and likewise we are having some social media posts about it. If you do have people that you could circulate that link to, I think the link might have been circulated around to everybody. But we're trying to get that out as widely as possible because you've set the benchmark high now, Councillor Dean, with 800 responses to the Sport and Rec survey. So I'd be very disappointed if we didn't get at least 800 for the Multicultural Advisory Group survey. So, yes, so that's been a good process and hopefully that will then... enable us to analyse that survey and develop a framework that we would launch early next year. And I appreciate the feedback from both Councillor Antolli and yourself as part of that group because it's been a good process and there's been lots of valuable discussions so far.
Terrific. I will just state for the record, probably 100 of those 800 are the kids that I teach. So it has, you know, fancy kids. But nevertheless, I'll take 800.
Okay. We'll just take 100 off at the end. Councillor Bain.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Sorry, one last one from me. On the 7th of August in the Civic Centre, attended the Integrated Transport Study meeting with Huon Valley Council and Department of State Growth.
Yep.
Is there any interesting things to share from that one?
Look, not... Well, I'll let you be the judge of whether it's interesting. There was a motion passed by the Huon Valley Council that was calling for an allocation of $50,000 to do a study that we would fund along with the Huon Valley to look at. It was a very loosely worded motion because it talked about wanting to look at, and I'd have to go back to my notes, but it was all sort of transport within the Huon Valley, within the Kingborough area and into the city of Hobart. So it was very broad. The meeting that we had involved the mayor of Huon Valley and a couple of staff members, the deputy mayor, Mr. Reeve, representatives of the Department of State Growth, and we actually were trying to sort of like narrow down what the study was intending to do. And the reason DSG representatives were there was because we needed to kind of like map out what's already happening and what work is already being done. Because we didn't want to overlap. We also, because it was such a vague motion, we came to the conclusion really that that $50,000 wasn't going anywhere near trying to have a study that was trying to encompass all those areas. And so the agreement from everybody in the meeting was that we not pursue that because of all the work that we'd just identified was going on. So the Mayor of the Huon Valley was going to go back and share that with her councillors. Any further questions? No. So I'm going to put the motion that the appendices attached to the agenda be received and noted. It was moved by Councillor Gladright and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against, the motion is carried. Takes us to page 189. There were no notices of motion. And then we're at confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. So it's confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence and recruitment consultant general manager's vacancy. Looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against. Motion is carried. So thank you very much to everybody who has been watching along at home. In accordance with Kingborough Council meetings audio recording guidelines policy,